Welcome to the Emmaus Fellowship Teaching Podcast. We trust you find this encouraging. Emmaus Fellowship is located at 205 North Pine Street in Woodland Park, Colorado. Our phone number is 719-687-6061. We trust you find this encouraging as you pour over God's Word with us.
You gave me a voice and a song, taught me how to sing. Brothers and sisters, gave me a family.
So I was thinking about this yesterday on the plane as I was flying back, and I was thinking about sharing with you a little bit of the backstory about why I have jumped into the waters that we're jumping into at the beginning of February, related to the book of John. And related to more specifically cultivating our understanding of the Christ and what it means when Paul says over and over and over about us being in Christ. And so John is going to be the basis of a lot of what I'm going to be sharing. It may extend through the entire year. I don't know. But I wanted to share with you a backstory, and I'm not hesitant to share my backstory. I am feeling the need to put some qualifiers around it, only because it's subjective. It's based entirely on my personal experience. And I'm going to just put that out there. It's like, this is what I have been experiencing. And many of you have walked with me for many years, and some of you are fresh to the fellowship, and we're getting to know each other, and you're getting to know me, and some of you are still trying to size me up or size this fellowship up. Do it. I bless you to just really search it out and find out, is this the place for you? Is this the message that is bringing life to you in this season of your life? Is what I carry connecting with you in ways that bring hope and truth? So I don't hesitate to say, look, I don't mind being scrutinized. I prefer not to be judged. I prefer to have a conversation that's based on your perspective and discernment that is kind and life-giving for both and a mutual exchange of ideas. I don't do well when I get sideswiped, so I invite conversation. I invite times where we can sit and have coffee, where we can have a conversation, where you can ask deeper questions and find the deeper nuance and meaning. The risk that we run, especially in our culture today, is that we can make some very dramatic assumptions about people based on a tiny bit of information, which may actually be misinformation. And so knowing that I'm susceptible to that, knowing that I run the risk of doing that to others, and that I would prefer not to do that, I would just like for our fellowship to be a place where we can have civil discourse related to things of truth, related to things of God, related to ideas pertaining to our faith, our religion, our place in the city, and all of those great conversations I love. So that being said, those of you who have walked with me for many years, you know that over the course of the last probably 5 or 6 years, there is something that has been heightened in my personal journey with Jesus, and that has been a more contemplative life. It doesn't mean I'm monastic. I don't necessarily sit still for hours on end, but it's in the course of my day, the Lord has brought me into a place where I practice the presence of the Lord. And one of the things that the Lord has done for me, and I believe he does for many people, I would dare hope that he would do it for all of us, is that he has given us spiritual senses. Paul refers to those in ways like, as he writes the epistles, he writes things like, I pray that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened. So obviously we don't have eyes on our physical heart, but we have spiritual senses. We have spiritual eyes to see. Jesus often said, I pray, or he says, those who have ears, let them hear what the Spirit is saying. So we have spiritual hearing, we have spiritual sight, we have intuition to know. And that has ushered me into a deep and growing, even the phrase deep, that's a relative term. It's really deep compared to what I was. It's not a comparison to where you are, but for me, it's been a deep realization that I have an interior life with God that has become more and more vibrant. And the thing about my interior life with God is that it has begun to inform how I live my life more and more. In other words, what I'm encountering with the presence of the Lord interiorly, with the visions that I have, with the insight that I experience, with my deep inner knowing, has begun to, and I would hope that it began a long time ago, but it has begun to inform how I'm going to react and respond to people, or how I'm going to react and respond to situations, how I'm going to treat people, how I'm going to be intentional with my life as I make plans. So this is something that I'm personally experiencing, and over the last several years, it's been something that's growing. What's fascinating for me is over the last year, it's become more simple. It's become slower. The pace of my encounters with Jesus has become more consistently unfolding, as opposed to, like, if I sit down and have a time where I'm going to, like, meditate on the Lord, or I sit down to pray, or I ask the Lord to bring me into a safe place. For many years, there was like an elaborate experience that I would have with Jesus. And then the next time I would sit down to do that, it would be another elaborate experience that may be unrelated. The change for me has been over this last year, it's been like pause to be continued, and we pick it up where we left off. Okay? So that's the difference for me. And the other thing that's been interesting is, And I've worked with people over the last several years where, they express their frustration of like, yeah, when I'm with you and we pray together and we move into this thing called formational prayer that we do together, I can see and I can experience and I can know. But then when I go off by myself and I'm sitting there with the Lord, it's like nothing's really coming, and it's frustrating. And so over the course of time, that can be cultivated and nurtured. But I will share this with you, honestly. I don't always have a deep, meaningful experience every time I sit down with the Lord. I will tell you that most of my rich internal experiences where I have a vision of Jesus, or I have an experiential thing that happens where I hear or I see, happens here during worship. So I'm just offering that. All right, so what happened was a couple months ago, I won't go into the back story, but I will tell you that a couple months ago, I was at a Y on the road with Jesus. And what I saw was myself standing on this beautiful ridgeline, looking downward into this vast, really pretty valley. And the season that I had just come out of was super scary and rocky and full of potential hazards. And here I was coming out of that season, looking at this beautiful broad ridge down into this valley, and I was like, yeah, I want to go there. And Jesus, in my vision, was actually walking down a side path that led to this cliff that was ominous, like dark canyon. And I was like, oh, no thanks. Compared to what I just came out of, I don't want to go there. Like, I would rather cruise. And so I sat down on this rock. This is all happening inside of me, right? And this happened over the course of many weeks. I would be sitting on this rock, and Jesus would be standing on this trail that's going down towards this cliff edge that has this crazy dark canyon down there. And I'm looking over here at this beautiful broad valley going, that's where I want to go. And he was just patiently standing there. Until one day, he came up to me while I was sitting on this rock. And I would say that I probably had dug in my heels a bit. I would say that I was reluctant to follow Jesus into whatever the unknown was in this space. Until he came up to me, and my old tapes of like how God was going to treat me if I resisted him were kicking in, like, oh, I'm in trouble now. But it wasn't that at all. He was so kind, so incredibly beautiful and kind that he came and he sat down right in front of me. He knelt down, actually, on both knees, right in front of me. And I'm literally looking at the top of his head. And he began to untie my shoes. And he began to take off my socks and my shoes. And then he reached around, he took the water bag off, and he started to wash my feet. And what I began to experience intuitively was he brought me right to the story of when he sent his disciples out two by two, and he instructed them, when you go into a community, find people of peace and be with them and leave your peace with them in their home. Be with those people of peace. And if you go into a community and they do not receive you, then go ahead and take yourself out of that community. And as you get to the edge of the town, knock the dust off your feet and keep on stepping. And in those moments of me having this encounter with Jesus and he's washing my feet, my sense is that he is washing away the residue of the previous season that I had been in, where I was in relationship with people who had not accepted me, had actually rejected me, had in some ways been hostile towards me. And I felt like it was at that moment when I experienced a sincere knowing, like my season there is over. My season there was over. And so after he washed my feet, gave me this amazing smile, like, you ready for this kind of smile? He started down that trail, and I followed right after him. There's something about the kindness of God that leads us. And sometimes that kindness will lead us away from a path that we have been walking and move us to the path that he has for us. We could actually call that repentance. Changing directions from the way that you had been going to the way that he has for you. The moment of impact is kindness. So I walk down this trail with him, and all of a sudden it's like super cliffy, and it's surprising to me how elaborate the trail is. It's like hewn out of the rock. There are steps. It's about 3 feet wide, and the cliff goes up on the left, up on the right and down on the left, and it just gets steeper and steeper. And Jesus is right in front of me. And we start to go into this place that's like it's shadowed, which I've learned over the years isn't always a scary thing. There's something about having fellowship with the mystery. And so as I'm walking down this trail, it doesn't take us long to get to an alcove on the side of the cliff to the right. And by alcove, I mean like a cave. But it's not a deep cave that has all these chambers. It's basically just like a room that's been kind of carved out of the side of this cliff that's right along the trail. And in that cave, I turn and I go into that space, and it's not very deep. It's just deep enough for what I would describe as a very orthodox altar. It has a cross. It has incense. It has candles. It has the cup of the communion. And it has a plate with bread on it. Now, this vision started for me in December. I'm still there. So if you're curious, like, why the table now? Why the communion now? Why are we going into this place of a deeper reflection, of meeting the Lord at the table? Like I was saying, some of our Christian brothers and sisters, they didn't lose sight of the importance of the communion table. Whereas some of us Protestants, our shift went away from the communion table and more towards the teaching of the word and, you know, that sort of rationalized way of approaching Christianity. Whereas this can be more experiential, as Melanie brought a story last week of how she encountered healing at the communion table. That was an experience that she had that she then shared with us as a fellowship and offered to pray. And with Duncan and with Loretta and others, there was prayer that happened probably an hour after the service was dismissed. And many of you went because it was that third Sunday. You went to different homes and you had meals. There were people getting prayed for that entire time afterwards. Okay, Jesus is standing behind me with his hand on my shoulder as I'm kneeling before this altar. And I'm just there. There's no deep sense of like anguish or repentance or woe is me or I'm such a dirty, rotten sinner. There's none of that. It's just like I feel like I'm in the presence of something that is like a frontier for me, a discovery of the atoning work of Jesus. And it's tied to something bigger. And so I'll share this little expanded version of the story because just about 3 weeks ago, maybe it was about 3 weeks ago, there was a time when I was actually in worship here. Nicolette was leading and I was experiencing the Lord in this place. And it's beautiful. And it's very peaceful. And the scene just kind of backs away from the alcove, from me, from Jesus. And I see... Who here knows the name of the breastplate that the priests have where there's 12 stones? Ephod. The alcove is one of the stones in the ephod that Jesus is wearing. And it's the place where he was pierced by the sword when he hung on the cross. And I'm in that place. I'm in that place where his heart was pierced. I'm in that place, I don't even know how to describe it. And there's something about Jesus as the high priest. There's something about Jesus as the sacrifice. And there's something about being in a place that's deeply connected, not only to his suffering, but to his heart. I think we call that compassion. That's the backstory. It's since moved back in. By the way, the stone is the color blue that I saw in the ocean. And there was a time when I was diving in Palancar bricks where our dive master, Pedro and I were like brothers now. He's awesome. This dude, he's about this tall and about this round, and he's been over 14,600 and something dives over the course of 30 years. He's 59 years old. And the dude is like a fish. He's so comfortable in that space. And we came out of this cave, and he's just floating there in front of me. Like I'm right behind him with about 10 or 12 feet between us. He comes out, and then he just turns around like he does. Just I asked him, like, how do you move underwater like that? He goes, mind control. I was like, that's not helping me, man. I want to be like you. But he just like, he comes out and then he just like floats around and he does this like little 180 and now he's just standing there, right? He's in 90 feet of water and he's like vertical And he's got his arms crossed, and his fins are just completely still, and he's just weightless. He's just like... And all I see is this blue around him, and for a moment there, I had this like ethereal experience, like, it looks like this man's in outer space. Anyway, a little sidebar. That was fun. So that's it. You know, it's interesting to me, about a month or so ago, I was teaching out of the book of James, and we were talking about that phrase related to the coming of the Lord, and how the Lord comes for us, he comes near to us, and he comes into us. And this dynamic of being in Christ and Christ in us, this is like the desire of my heart, like for us as a community. It doesn't eliminate our desire for the presence of Christ to minister his love to us as a community externally, you know, when we experience the manifest presence of God and he's moving as we pray for one another. And it doesn't negate the idea that we have hope in the coming of the Lord, that he will, the resurrection of Christ is available. It's going to be something that we get to experience, whether on this side of our death or on the other side of our death. So all of that's amazing, and I want us to move into this next season as a community of faith, emphasizing this idea that the Lord could heighten our awareness of the interior life that we can have with him. We can call that a life of contemplation. We don't have to. We can call that a life of communion. We don't have to. We can call that a personal relationship with Jesus. That's probably what a lot of us have heard over the years. We can call that cultivating the abiding place with Christ, as we're encouraged in John 15 to abide in him and him in us. And from that place, our lives will be fruitful. It'll be fruit that remains. And then he goes on to say, apart from Christ, you can do nothing that has any eternal significance, basically. So our pursuit of this life in Christ, as Christ is in you, it comes to me from this backstory. It comes to me from a prolonged season of invitation into the kindness of God to bring us into an intimacy of knowing him. Now, I'm not going to superimpose my story on you. How it's going to look for you is going to be way different probably than how it's going to look for me. So I'm just simply offering my story as almost like permissions, like we can go there. I think that's important for us to have people in our lives that can help us understand that, yeah, there are safer ways, and by safer, I'll put that in air quotes, there are safer ways to express our Christian faith. Like, for example, apologetics. If we have all the right answers to all the right arguments, then that might be a safer way because we're really locking in on Scripture and we know the Scripture and we can recite the Scripture. In fact, we can convert the Scripture into a hammer if we need to, but we have something that is sound, that is not subjective. It's not subject to my experience. I love that, and I don't think that's the end of the story. I think the Scripture helps ground us. It helps put guardrails around us. Have you heard anything that I've shared that has been like heresy? If it has been, then don't take me out and stone me. Invite me out for coffee. Let's have a conversation about it. And if it's something that is popping up left and right, then I'm going to take a serious look at, okay, what am I really, you know, am I barking up the wrong tree here? But my point is that this exploration of a contemplative lifestyle with the Trinity, it's likely to venture into paradigms that might even challenge fundamentalism. It's probably going to even challenge traditionalism as we have been taught it. I mean, these things might have to come with a warning label. Like the warning is that while we endeavor to remain within the clear and obvious guidelines laid out for us in the Scriptures through the teachings and the ways of Jesus, you may not always be able to concretely defend your experience with God. Like, even in my experience, like, If I had someone come to me and say, show me in the Bible where you fit into the ephod, I couldn't. It's just my experience. And it works for me because it conveys something to me that's still kind of a mystery, but it's opening up for me a deeper desire to know the atoning work of Christ, Jesus as the chief priest, and my place in close proximity, not only with his suffering, but with his heart in compassion. That's all I can say. So anyway, so exploring that stuff, you know, and there's another warning that might actually have to come with this. You ready for this one? The warning is that the Antichrist spirit exists on the earth and resists this type of empowerment and life in God. Do you know that the Antichrist isn't just like some person that's going to rise up in power? That it's clear throughout Scripture that the Antichrist spirit has been on planet Earth since the original disciples were building the church. So when you think about the Antichrist, and we're talking about being in Christ and Christ being in us, we have to understand and parse out the fact that it's not just an anti-Christian spirit. It's not just an anti-even Jesus spirit. It's an anti-Christ spirit. Because Christ isn't Jesus' last name. It's who he was as the anointed one who was moving in and through the anointing and the power of the Godhead as a man. So, Antichrist, the enemy of our souls, doesn't seem to mind if we have a form of godliness and yet we deny the power of God to bring transformation. Doesn't seem to mind that. But once we start stepping into this transformative thing, once we start stepping into a real personal relationship with Christ, that's when we have to take authority over our thinking. We have to take authority over our homes. We have to consecrate the places that we gather, that we pray. And it doesn't have to be, you know, super pious or highly religious. It can just be like the way I pray when we come in. It's just like, I set this time and this place apart for you, Christ, and I welcome your kingdom into this space. I welcome your light and your love into this space to displace every forms of darkness in Jesus' name. Now I sit here as myself to be with you. How about that? And that can help us stay protected because we are hidden where? In Christ. We are hidden in him. And in him we live and breathe and have our very existence. So we don't need to be afraid of entering into that space. That's our birthright. We get afraid to stay out of it. I mean, we get frightened enough to stay away from it because we're thinking. So even adding that warning label, all I'm doing in that is saying, look, let's keep our eyes wide open. And let's know that we are entering into a journey of depth and personal relationship and intimacy and communion with God that I believe does bring transformation. It not only brings transformation to you personally, but it brings transformation through your life to others. I shared with Mark, he was asking like, how much time do you need this morning? And he's always so kind to check in with me on that. And I was like, look, dude, I've got more to say this morning than we have time for. In fact, I'm going to probably start to change channels here, even though I've only gotten through one page of my 5 pages of notes. Isn't that great? So I hope you'll take this journey with me. If nothing else, it could be entertaining for you. But I don't tell these stories to tickle your ears, to entertain you. If anything, I'm hoping that it'll spark something in you of desire. Let me just offer this. I do want to say this. Can you give me 5 minutes? We're good? All right. Christ is the eternal power and presence of the triune God that existed from the beginning. Listen to our story of origin, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was formless and desolate. It was desolate emptiness, and darkness was all over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God hovered over the surface of the waters. And then God said, let there be light, and there was light, and God saw that the light was good. And then there was the separation of day and night. the separation of land and sea, the creation and of multiplying vegetables and plants and insects and birds and cool fish that you can go scuba dive and see, and all the creatures. And then finally, the creation of man and woman, and it was good, very good. Here's a compelling thought. The blend of the presence of God, the Spirit of God hovering over the face of the deep, this blend, as his Spirit rested over all of the elements of creation from the beginning, the blend of that and the logos, which is the word for words, or spoken, or what could be more accurately interpreted as the living expression of God. This blend is what we can refer to as the Christ. The presence of the Lord, the word of the Lord, or the living expression of the Lord. If we were raised to think in limiting terms of Christ only being the Messiah that rescued us from our depravity and the curse that befell all of creation as the result of rebellion, then we'll struggle with the idea that Christ is in all and through all and holds all things together, and God saw that it was very good. I want to just offer this because it could be that the story of God, which is communicated through Christ, has been and continues to ring out through what God has created. Listen to Romans 1:20. Since the creation of the world, God's invisible attributes, that is, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived or on display, being understood by what has been made, so that they, all of mankind, are without excuse. This did not cease with the original sin. This is continued throughout all of mankind, even to today when I'm under the ocean and I'm looking at an octopus that's just freaking me out and I'm just having the time of my life. There is something of God on display in that for me, and it brings life to my heart. Now, here's where we can get tripped up. This scripture is not suggesting a pantheist worldview. Pantheism, it's not saying that the creation is God. Neither does this scripture, along with others, suggest that God is removed from the universe that he created. So pantheism is this idea, a worldview that everything is God. A theist would say that God is removed from everything that he created. There is actually a third option here, and it's widely accepted within Christian theology as well as even Judaism and even Islam, and it's a worldview of panentheism. Okay, so work with me here. God is present in and through nature and humans, but also transcends them. Panentheism revolves around the idea that God is the supreme creator. This is certainly expressed in Colossians 1:15. He, the incarnate Christ, is the visible image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. So now consider a smaller circle within a much larger circle. The inner circle, you can put the word universe, seen and unseen. The outer circle is the triune God. God is not blocked outside of the inner circle. God actually exists outside and within the inner circle. Is this confusing anyone? Okay, this is important for us because actually what's going to happen, and I'm going to jump to this idea here, is that that is actually simultaneously true for you. Here's an idea. That imagine, if you can, God expressing himself through your life. Imagine that your heart is not only an echo of God's words, like you're not just a relay station, like I heard this and now I'm going to echo it back to you. But what if the new covenant in Jesus Christ tells us that God is writing or expressing himself to your heart and to your mind? That's actually what was written about in 2 Corinthians when Paul said this. Paul said that you are living letters written by Christ, not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not carved onto stone tablets, but on the tablets of your tender hearts. And he goes on to say this, that that we do not see ourselves as capable enough to do anything of our own strength, for our true competence flows from God's empowering presence. He alone makes us adequate. So this is important for us because, again, we're not saying that you are divine. I'm not saying that I am divine in and of my own nature. Like, I am not inherently divine. However, if I am the small circle and God is the large circle, he is also in and through and moving and writing his story. And I become, just like Christ became, you become incarnate. Just like Christ became incarnate, you become the story of God that is being written by the Spirit of God onto your heart. And that is the work of Christ in you. And that is what gets to be expressed through you. And so, we definitely want to listen to Peter in 2 Peter 1, 2 through 4. He says, this is a prayer. May God give you more and more grace and peace as you grow in your knowledge. This is what Mark was talking about. He's like, hey, I don't have to pray for more faith. I just want to get to know God more. So as you grow in your knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him. We are receiving this as we know him more. This is bringing us full circle to the invitation to live this contemplative life of discovering what it means to be in Christ as Christ is in you. What it means to be like the branch and the vine. What it means to have connection to the source. So, while we're not inherently divine, we are giving growing access to sharing in the divine nature. It goes on to say this. Because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share in his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. You want to know what the antidote of sin and dysfunctional behavior is? Get to know Jesus more. And let him share his divine nature with you. And let his story be written on your heart. And you have to know it's going to be a beautiful story. It's not going to be without pain. It's not going to be without suffering. It's not going to be without plenty of opportunities to practice all the fruits of the Spirit. But it's definitely going to be a life worth living. And so this is the invitation. And again, back to the question. Will you take this journey? It's an invitation to enter in. So I'll close out with this. I will say that there has been a spiritual practice that was like offered to you to consider doing. It was a couple weeks ago, and that is the spiritual practice of silence and solitude. And starting your day out with maybe 10 up to 20 minutes, whatever you have in you to do every day without any outside influences, no music, no books, no Bible, and no expectation for an encounter through a vision or a revelation or a word, just to simply start the time by praying, God, I set this time apart to be with you. Here I am. I mean, what is the encouragement? Be still and know that I am God. So I want you to enjoy that, okay? All right, that's it. Man, I took more than 5 minutes. You guys are so patient with me. You're so kind. Here's what I'd love to do. I want to pray because I have a few things that I'm going to be praying for specifically. And then we're going to close our time. So Jesus, thank you for this word. I ask that you would seal what is of you by your Holy Spirit. Let it be like seeds that take root and bear fruit in the years to come. I'm just going to invite you to pause for a moment and make it personal. Is this a journey that you're wanting to take? Are you sitting on the rock, reluctant, looking down the path that looks more pleasing to you? Or is this too full of like the mystery and the unknown? It's okay to be there for a while. I'm not asking for a response today. I'm just simply honoring the fact that we can make this real. And we can honor where you're at personally. And as a caveat to that, you won't be voted off the island if you don't choose to enter a more contemplative lifestyle. And finally, to close us out, I'm just going to invite all of us to stand for this one. Let's go ahead and stand back up. Yep. Because I was thinking as I was getting ready to say it, I'm like, yeah, all of us can fit into this category. Does anyone have a strained relationship? So Jesus, you know the complexities of our lives. You know the intricacies of relationships. You know the different family structures and the different cultures that we come in and out of. You know our work environment. You know our peers. You know our colleagues. You know our spouses. You know our children. You know our parents. And you know the strain that we're experiencing and the pain that can come from that, the rejection that can come with that, the fear, the anxiety of not feeling safe. Jesus, come by your Spirit and bring reconciliation. Restore broken relationships, God, I pray. Bring healing to strained relationships. Jesus, come and do that. Just make that personal with him now. Just offer out the, not out loud, but just to him, you know, the name, or you know, you've been thinking about it here. Just make it personal. Come, Lord, to that relationship, to those relationships. Come, Lord. Do what only you can do. Do a miraculous thing. And Lord, with this, we offer for you to examine our hearts. And if there's something in us that we need to work on, if there's unforgiveness, if there's bitterness, judgment, then Lord, give us the grace to navigate those deep waters. And I pray all this in your name, Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, God bless all of you, and we'll see you next week.
It's our joy to offer these podcasts. We sure hope you enjoyed it. If you have any questions, any prayer requests, feel free to drop us a line at emmausfellowship@icloud.com. If you're curious about ways you can be more deeply involved in this community, visit our website at emmausfellowship.org and be sure to like our Facebook page.